The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to another Dark Side. What are you, it's a big old smile. It almost looks like your screen's frozen over there here on our YouTube channel, Tony Curry Radio. And of course, wherever you, if you're listening, Dr. Rabs has got the biggest shitting grin I've ever seen on his face. It's just, he's just smiling. He's just super smiling, happy. What are you doing, man?
Oh, man. Well, it's just, you know, just having a good time talking with you before the show and watching your little, you know, watching do your routine, getting the vocal cords warmed up.
Yes, me. I was actually doing a show today I did with Mark Ingram, but Michael Coleman, who's a good friend of mine from the wonderful Heart of Alabama Food Bank. He does great work down there in Montgomery, just fantastic work, and I love him. And we talked for like 53 minutes today about what we were going to talk about on the show, because evidently some index came out today, and evidently Americans are happy and overjoyed about the economy and everything that's going on, which is I know, right?
What?
Yeah, for the first time in 30 years, everyone says that the economy's good, inflation's good, GDP's good, blah blah blah. I mean, it's the highest it's ever been, and I'm like, wow, that changed pretty quick. Because last night I heard, you know, the whole world was falling around us, but it seems like everyone seems to be doing pretty good. At least the circles of my friends seem to be doing okay. We're not running out of cash. You know, we're still taking care of Fifi, and our cats are getting their shots. And you know,
look at the national debt.
No, well, that's the thing.
If you're in a good place right now, everyone out there, don't look at the national.
Well, and that's what we talked about. I'm so glad you brought that up. We should have brought you in on board. And again, we're having this discussion for like 50 something minutes, and about what we want to discuss. And he's mentioning the fact that our debt is $48 trillion. I think it is. I think it was $3 trillion just like 3 years ago. And I said the issue is you know, if someone came in right now and said, hey, listen, great news today. You know, we cut $23 trillion off your deficit. You know, maybe we were going to wipe it away like the school debt, the school debt, you know, something like that. So someone would come in and say, what would it change? What would change? I mean, what's the difference between $23 trillion and $43 trillion? I don't know. And then we started talking about the interest on loans and now blah, 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 blah. And then eventually I finally said, listen, we got to do a show here. That's what we did. But it was interesting. What you got?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think that if you could, and listen, I'm pretty apolitical out there. Like I feel that if you spend a lot of time on whatever news outlet you want to be on, you're going to find yourself in a pretty dark place pretty quickly, whether you are a Fox News or you're an MSNBC. Like you are going to be in a pretty dark place pretty fast.
Yep.
So that with me being apolitical, no one out there needs to listen to my political opinion. That being said, here's my political opinion.
There you go.
I feel like if you have a big national debt, it really just kind of it limits what you can do, and it changes how other countries look at you.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're in somebody. Especially when you're in somebody's pocket.
I have no idea what other countries' debts are. Do you have any idea? I mean, does France have a huge debt? I don't know. I
can't imagine that they would have as big of a debt as we do, because I feel like that we give out a lot of money, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But you know, I feel like that America has a lot of resources that we do not use, mm-hmm, that could get us out of debt, mm-hmm, in a hurry. It's not about we can't help people. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I think there are, especially when it comes to energy, I think there are a lot of resources we have here in America that can get us out of debt quickly.
Yes.
But, you know.
And if that doesn't work, guns and drugs. I mean, that would be out like this. It'll be over by tomorrow if we could just start. No, I'm just kidding. No, I totally agree with you. I think we do have a lot of resources, and I do think we're one of the most giving countries, if not the most giving country in the entire world. And everyone's always coming to us for stuff. You're right. We give off a lot of money. We do just keep printing it off. We keep saying we're going to have to get it up to our generation, and not our generation's generation. Now our kids' generation is going to have to deal. And it just, you know, it just never happens because we don't live long enough to actually see that go. And basically, what we're saying is, like, hey, when it blows up, what's going to happen? Is the stock market going to crash? I mean, what's going to, everyone keeps saying, we can't keep doing this forever. Okay, well, what happens, you know, is it when the Lord comes back on earth? What happens? So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, well, but it was really interesting talk. It was really, really interesting. It was a discussion because yeah. The way I look at it is, you know, 85% of Americans don't have a budget. And you know why they don't have a budget? Because it scares the hell out of them to think what it's going to look like on paper. 85% of us are living paycheck to paycheck. We're getting by. If we have an emergency, we seem to get through it. If we want to go on vacation, we find the money. If Susie needs books for school or field trip, we're good to go. And every month, we're somehow in the black. Somehow, we think we're in the black. Now, if we sat down and wrote down what our expenditures were and what we're making every month, I think it would just scare the bejeebers out of the majority of us. And that's why we don't want to know. It's like, it's okay. We're making it. You know, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul, blah, 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 blah. And then when you got a government who spends the way it does, we're like its children. We feel okay about spending money the way our government does. If mom and dad spend money on dinners they can't afford, why shouldn't we?
Hard to argue with that.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. One thing we do spend a lot of money on, and we should, $100 billion a year, are our pets. And we could not do the show Dark Side of the Pooch without, of course, our good friends from Ed's Pet World. They do wonderful work. Now, 50 years in the business down there in beautiful Homewood. Seth Cosby and his whole crew do a great job. And, of course, they also have a place down there called Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Toys and Comics from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, all the way through on Citation Court. Check out Ed's Pet World. Angie and the crew down their fantastic work. We love having them on Dark Side of the Pooch every single week. Speaking of money, this is perfect you brought this up because this story just broke about 2 hours ago. I want to know if you knew anyone that ever did this. A wealthy woman in China. You know what she's decided to do?
Well, she's got all America's money. Oh. That's why she's wealthy.
She has decided to leave her $2.8 million fortune to her pets. And her three children will get nothing. The woman from Shanghai with the surname Li decided to cut her children out of her will because she felt they neglected her in her old age and did not visit her when she was ill. Meanwhile, her beloved pet cats and dogs remain by her side, will get everything she has. Her dramatic decision was greeted positively by some Chinese people online. Well done. If my daughter treats me poorly in the future, I'll also leave my house to my animals. It is unclear how old the woman is. The report says she is quite elderly. Her will now dictates that the money must be spent on her pets and their offspring after she dies. It is not illegal in China to leave the money directly to the animals. A local veterinarian clinic will be responsible for the pets, and the administrator of the inheritance will also be part of that veterinarian clinic. An official from the Eastern China branch of the China Will Registration Center said they told Li that there were some risks in putting the pet clinic in charge of all of her money because obviously they are going to have carte blanche or what they think is the best thing to do with her $2.8 million. But she also did say that she has time to change her mind if, in fact, her children start treating her better. Maybe this is.
I'd like to have a conversation with Miss Li and see if she'd like to move to the stateside. And then I would be happy to take care of her pets.
1992, Gunther III, a German shepherd, was left $65 million by a German man. If you look at pets left inheritances, there is a list of like 2,000 inheritances of people leaving millions and millions of dollars to their animals. So does that say we're just not looking after each other? Does that say, are we crazy about our pets? Does it say that's what they get? What does it say that we'd be willing to leave $3 million to a cat?
Is that what you said at the beginning of the story? Is that what it was? $3 million?
$2.8 million.
I mean, how from the standpoint of her children, like, what did they do that was so bad? They ignored her. They didn't take care of her old age. I mean, do they not know how much money the mother stands to give them? Like, don't you think you could go over there every now and then and watch As the World Turns with her and like change her diaper or, you know, whatever she needs to have done, like take her out in her wheelchair and push her around and let her see the, you know, the
Have you ever seen these movies though? What was the Knives Out movie? Have you ever seen these movies where these children stand to take in just an enormous amount of inheritance from someone, but they just don't treat their parents or their grandparents with much respect at all? And you're like, dude, if I knew that my grandpa was worth $65 million and he was in his 80s, I would be kissing that all day long.
I mean, I need to take a hard look at myself. I mean, am I doing enough for my mother? Not that she has $3 million to give me, but it makes you think, like, not so much about the money, but it's like, man, am I doing right by my mom? My dad, he passed away almost 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's like, am I doing right, you know, by my mom? So I need to take a look in the mirror.
Do you think your mom would be straight up enough for you to say, son, there's some things I need to talk to you about? Or do you think, wouldn't we see that? We recognize that, right? I mean, I know you're a super good guy, so let's not get crazy here. But I can't imagine. And I realize some people don't have relationships with their parents like you and I do. But yeah, I would like to think, and again, she's leaving this and she's not dead yet. She's elderly, right? So she's giving them a chance to get back in their graces. But I'm thinking if she's actually gone to the point where she's written out a will for these animals, she spent some time on this. And again, what is a cat going to do with $2.8 million? If she wanted to allot a certain amount of money to what we said, was it $34,000 a year or something like that it cost to take care of a dog cat? If you want to allot that money to the veterinarian clinic or whatever, and then maybe have the rest of it given to charity or something, I certainly understand that. But to leave all the money to an animal that certainly can't do anything with it, it seems kind of silly to me.
What happens when the money, what happens when the pets die and the money hasn't run out?
Well, it's a good point. Are we putting them as on this loyal thing? Are we adding years to their lives so they can spend the money? Are they going to Disney World?
Does the doctor in China, does he get to have all the tea? Does he get to have all the tea now?
Well, and I'm not sure I'd want to be the administrator of this particular will. I mean, if you own, well, let's put this in real context here. Jefferson County Courthouse calls Dr. Ab Stewart, calls you down and says, you've been left in a will for this young lady who's been looking after her animals for years, and you have actually been her veterinarian since 1983. And she has deciphered that she no longer wants to share that will with her children, but she wants to leave it to her animals, and she's doing that through you. There's $6.7 million in an account, and you must take care of her animals. What is Dr. Ab doing?
All right. Here's the first thing I'm doing. All right. The first thing I'm doing is I'm going to be very cautious because this is, I mean, I'm sorry, but this is something that I get it. How about we do this? How about we leave the pets with someone we love and take and know that they'll take care of the pets, and we leave the money to that person? Okay. Because if someone's wants to will that much money to me in the practice, that's just an insane thing to do. And I'm going to think that the person doing it is insane, and I'm going to do something they don't like, and I'm going to find a horse head in my bed.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say to, you know, the doctor in China, tread lightly.
You're probably right. You're probably right. I do think it's just amazing. That we have just, something has changed over the last several years about how much we love our animals. And I thought maybe because of COVID, I thought maybe there'd be a little bit of reversal of fortune there, just because I think a lot of people took on pets that they obviously didn't want to have or didn't need to have, but they thought it would kind of be cool. It's COVID. We're going to be home. We're going to have these animals. And we're seeing that now. And of course, a lot of people can't take care of those animals. And then, but the love affair is on, my friend. I mean, it's been kind of crazy. All right, you had something really interesting. Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Ed's Pet World and Sasquatch Toys and Comics. You had something very interesting. Part of the body that the human doesn't need. Does an animal need a spleen? You had one taken out today. Explain and tell us all about that particular practice.
Yeah, they don't need one. And that's why I kind of was glancing up, because I have this command center here at my desk. You guys want to see it?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do want to see the command center.
All right, let me see if I can do this here.
Oh, wow. Oh, no, that's all your operating rooms and all your rooms. Nice.
Yeah. So that's the OR top left. And so we have a dog recovering there.
Nice.
Front office and the kennel. And we got a treatment room. We got feeding room, we got the backyard, and we got a bathing area.
I love that.
So the reason I was glancing up there as you were talking a minute ago is because we just took, it was the biggest. So the spleen normally weighs, definitely less than a pound. Yeah. You know, maybe it weighs a fifth of a pound. Mm-hmm. This dog's spleen weighed 8 pounds.
What?
Yeah, it weighed 8 pounds.
Wow.
So it was, I don't have the world's largest head. It was about as big as my head. you know, normally the spleen is about as big as my foot.
Yeah.
I'm talking width and length. Mm-hmm. And it was that size, but it had a growth on it almost as large as my head.
Wow.
So the dog came in.
Now, could you see this growth outside the animal?
All inside its abdomen. It was inside.
But it was that big. Like someone said, when someone says, I got something the size of a grapefruit in my arm, you can normally see the grapefruit. You could not see the spleen. Wow. That's wild. No. That's crazy.
So the dog came in on Friday with the history of like an orthopedic problem, mm-hmm. because they said that the dog was totally fine and it fell off a bed. It was trying to jump up on a bed and it didn't quite make it and it fell. And now, you know, the dog seems lethargic and not want to move around. Mm-hmm. So it presents like an orthopedic problem.
Yeah.
But you know, dog comes in, we do our physical exam. Its gums are pale. So that's kind of a red flag that maybe the red blood cell count is low. So we run some blood work and sure enough, red blood cell count's pretty low. And the dog also seems uncomfortable when we're palpating its belly. It's a big dog. This dog weighs 80 pounds. Mm-hmm. So you can't really, with, you know, one hand, you can't really get it. You can't really feel tumors in the abdomen, yep. but you can elicit a pain response. So, you know, we do an ultrasound and sure enough, I mean, the tumor is so big, you can't even see the whole thing on the ultrasound. That's how big it is. Wow. So the owners were pretty shocked when we tell them what's going on. So they had to take a couple of days to kind of think about what they want to do, because this is an old dog and we're really not sure exactly what we're going to find when we go in the abdomen. Is the liver involved? How much blood is in the abdomen? What in there is bleeding? So there's still a lot of unknowns. Even though you have a good idea of what's going on in there, there's some unknowns. So the other doctor in my practice, we did the surgery together because we knew that as big as we thought the spleen was, you were going to have four hands in there, somebody to kind of hold the spleen and manipulate things while the other person tied off all the vessels.
It kind of looked like a beef tenderloin. Is it something like that?
It looks like, it looked like a small basketball, but it's purple.
Okay.
It's purple.
But it's not elongated. It's more of a ball shape.
No, it's supposed to look, it's kind of, it almost looks like a cow's tongue.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And envision a purple cow's tongue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But this thing had a ball on it, the size of a, you know, small basketball.
Yeah.
Basically. Wow. So you have to be very gentle when you're removing, because you can't really make an incision long enough to get something like that out. So you make your incision and one person is kind of manipulating the body wall a little bit as one person pulls up on the organ, but it's very friable, meaning it can break really easily. Mm-hmm. And indeed the spleen was already starting to rupture, to come apart in the abdomen. And we got to a point where we were lifting it out and it was starting to tear. But we knew that if we got it out of the abdomen, exteriorized it, mm-hmm. then we could clamp all the vessels off and remove it, which is exactly what happened. So, you know, I am, as I'm, you know, talking to you, I'm just looking up. My nurses are watching it. It's getting a blood transfusion right now because the red blood cell count was low because the spleen was bleeding inside the dog's abdomen. So it's getting a blood transfusion during the surgery and right now. So
that's crazy.
It was a radical surgery.
Prognosis good. And what causes something like this?
Right now, the prognosis is, I would still say, very guarded and still maybe poor. Mm-hmm. And you know, the owners are aware of that. You know, there's two big hurdles with this. The first hurdle is doing the surgery and getting the dog through the surgery without dying.
Yeah.
And then the second hurdle is getting it home. So tonight the dog will go to the ER where they'll continue the blood transfusion. They'll start some antibiotics. They'll manage pain as best they can. And we'll just continue to give supportive care. And hopefully the dog will go home.
And when you say go home, just moving the animal just so there's not a tearing of the sutures and stuff? Or how long will that animal be under your care?
Once we can get the dog to eat and drink and do the things on its own that it has to do to survive, that's when it goes home.
I got you.
We don't send pets home if they're not eating and drinking on their own.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to survive.
And so what causes a spleen to get to 8 pounds?
Well, it can either be a cancerous growth. Most common malignant tumor in a spleen is hemangiosarcoma. Oddly enough, the spleen can have a blood clot in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it can cause the spleen to hypertrophy. So it basically just gets engorged with blood and it kind of turns into a pseudo tumor kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they can also have hyperplasia, which is basically like a benign proliferation of the spleen. Okay. So, but the problem is with the spleen, it's a very, very vascular organ, has a lot of blood in it. So whether it's a malignancy or not, if the spleen ruptures, the dog could bleed, could hemorrhage to death and die.
That's crazy. I hope everything turns out, and please keep us posted. We'll say a prayer. What's the dog's name?
Dog's name is Max.
Max, we'll pray for Max tonight. No. So there you go.
Yeah, so far so good. The first hurdle has been jumped.
Well, Max, you're in good hands. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. We always have a bunch of emails. My daughter, who's become quite the big star on the show, she's come on the show. She's not with me today. She was actually with her mother today, so she couldn't be on the show, but she did want to leave. Lila's question of the week for Dr. Rav from the Dark Side of the Pooch, and I said I'd be more than happy to do it, and it was probably one of the most compassionate, empathetic questions that I've ever heard an 11-year-old ask. And I think we've been asking this question for years. She said, "Why do people who abuse their animals want to keep them?" And I said, "What?" Mm. And she said, "Why do people who abuse their animals, don't feed their dogs, don't feed their cats, leave them outside when it's snowing, why do they keep them chained up? Why do they try to keep them if they're not going to take care of them?" And I said, "That's a question for Dr. Rab. What's your answer?"
Because they're sick.
And I told her that, and there are some people sick. And I mentioned what we talked about last week, the dog that came up on my front porch. You can see its rib cage, the whole nine yards. We called this neighborhood association. Someone said, "Yes, that's my animal." It was an older, elderly woman who came up here to pick her dog up, and we weren't going to give it back to her because we said, obviously, you can't take care of this animal. And the next thing you know, we got caught in a ruckus, and I was like, "Listen, this animal is going to die. It's not being taken care of." And I'm thinking to myself, why in the world would this woman want this animal? She's obviously not looking after it. So, okay, so assuming it's not because they're sick, is it some type of psychiatrical control issue, psychology
plan? No, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, they're mentally not right. I mean, I don't mean they're sick like they're bedridden. I mean, like, they get some type of pleasure from the abuse. Or they're just totally uneducated, which I think that would be a very small percentage of the people who do it. They just don't know any better.
Yeah.
But I think a large percentage of people, they are, they're malicious. Yeah. They get off on it.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. It's really sad. Good question, Lila. Keep them coming here. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Eve in West End wants to know, what's Dr. Rab's take on Bob Marley? Is he going to go see the movie?
Oh, hi, one love.
I want to go see it. And I'm a huge Bob Marley fan. Something's not jiving with me there. It just doesn't look like my kind of flick. I want to go see it just to hear the music. It doesn't look like it's going to be a great movie. I don't know why, because it's just, I don't know what kind of movie they can make about his life, but what's your thoughts? Are you a big Bob Marley fan? Will you go see it?
I won't go to the theater to see it, but I will see it at some point, you know, when it comes out and you can stream it somewhere on Amazon or whatever. So at some point I will definitely watch it, but, I'm kind of with you. Like, there was a time in my life where I really liked Bob Marley mm-hmm. music. I really liked reggae. And then, I just kind of went through with it. You know, I appreciated it for what it was. And there are definitely, you know, all reggae music is not created equal. Mm-hmm. You know, there's good reggae and there's bad reggae. Bob Marley is good reggae.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that, I mean, there was an attempted murder, right? Somebody tried to murder him. So, I think that there's going to be some intrigue in the movie, but I'm more of a, I'm not a huge drama person, and I don't really like biopics because I don't think I can trust them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I can trust them. So I'm not the authority on Bob Marley. But you know, I'm more of a action comedy horror kind of movie
person. Yeah, I probably wouldn't be doing Bob Marley on Dateline, but I'm interested. I think there's probably a lot of people that don't know enough about his life that perhaps should go see it, that love his music. I mean, it is amazing, though. The minute you hear the first couple seconds of any of his songs, you're just in a great mood. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's not like that with Buffett. It's not like that with anybody else. But Bob Marley, the minute you start hearing this first few chords, the steel drums, it's like it's just life is good. You could be sitting in a sewer somewhere and all of a sudden life is not so bad.
So I'm not a good bass player, but I love to play bass. Mm-hmm. And my 5-year-old, we were trying to come up with a song that would be easy for her. So Jammin' has the Bob Marley song Jammin' has a very special place in my heart because my 5-year-old loves it. And when I pick up the bass, she always says, "Daddy, we play jamming."
Oh man, nice! How about that? I love that. So you're a bass player, huh?
Yeah, I started out playing guitar, and I played guitar for a long time, and then I just hit a wall, and I couldn't get as good as I wanted to be. So about probably 4 years ago, probably wasn't that long. It was when the Beatles documentary Get Back came out, Peter Jackson. Mm-hmm. And I was watching Paul McCartney just like pull Get Back like out of the ether with his bass. I mean, he just started with one note, two notes, three notes. Mm-hmm. And it was just it was one of the coolest things that I have ever seen. And I've just mentioned that, you know, as a one-off to my wife, I said, you know, I think I'd like to try to play bass. I'm just kind of tired of the guitar. And I got one, and I mean, for the past 4 years, I can't put it down. I'm not good. Yeah. I'm not good, but I can't put it down.
A lot of people didn't even realize that Paul McCartney did play the bass. You mentioned Paul McCartney and they go to a guitar, but you just think of Paul McCartney because the way he sang, you don't hear bass players sing the way he does. And you don't really hear bass guitarists write music the way he did with John as well. So, and I'll say this, and obviously a different genre of music, but Zenyatta and Dada, some of the great stuff the Police came out with that had that reggae back feel to it really turned me on to some of their music. And again, if you've ever been to Jamaica, you're going to hear it. It's just life-changing music. It really is.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Interesting story today out of the New York Post. I wanted to share with you. Two studios have shown that a dog's brain is similar to that of a human's. And in the 1980s, Dr. Nicholas Dobbin discovered that dogs can experience depression. We've actually talked about that on this particular show. As an individual who has had some depression challenges of my own, and my mom had depression for 50-something years, my ex had depression, I wouldn't wish it upon anyone. It's the worst thing in the history of the world, and I can only imagine what my little furry loved one must endure to go through doggy depression. I don't know what or that feels like or what they're sensing, but tell me a little bit about dog depression, what we should look for in our animals if, in fact, they are suffering from some type of depression. How do we claim it? How do we get rid of it? They give it Prozac. What do we do?
Well, I think it's more of an anxiety thing. And I don't know, you know, I think that depression can lead to anxiety, and I think anxiety can lead to depression, but I don't know that dogs spend a lot of time in the, in that emotional state. I think they spend a ton of time in the anxiety state. Mm-hmm. I think that they could probably, you categorize them as depressed when they do lose something that they love, whether it's another animal in the house or maybe even the owner, you know, mm-hmm. one of the owners passes away. But I don't think they really struggle with, depression that much or for that long. I think the main, kind of behavioral issue that they struggle with is anxiety, and that can manifest in a lot of different ways. They can harm themselves. So they can cause damage to their bodies by licking or biting themselves. They can cause damage to their surroundings, especially with separation anxiety, tear your house up, tear your mm-hmm. furniture up, tear your walls from your house down.
Yeah.
So, I think that the depression might play a little bit of a role, you know, maybe the anxiety causes the depression, depression causes anxiety, but they live more in the anxiety realm.
I'm going to throw a seriously deep question out at you right now. Do you believe that dogs can differentiate the feelings, their compassion, their love for their owners differently from person to person. What I mean by that is if you had two different dogs with two different owners, and obviously those owners were serving those animals differently, is it possible for one dog, here it is it possible for one dog to love its master more than another dog is to love its own?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I think so.
You do believe that? It's not a standard, I'm a dog as a human, because we know that it's an unconditional love. We know that animals can get beaten. They can do everything. They're going to always love their master. And we realize that that's one of the beautiful things about animals. And that's why it's so important we take care of them. But you actually believe that some relationships can be stronger with dogs and their owners than others?
Yeah. And I think that depends on the dog. And I think it depends on the person too. I think that there are people that have varying levels of empathy and tenderness. And I think that dogs have that same thing. Now, you know, their scale may not be as large. You know, if let's just say, for example, maybe the human scale goes from 0 to 100, you know, and like we're totally making this up, but you know what I'm saying? Like you're a 45 for tenderness. You know, you need to be a little more tenderhearted. You need to love a little bit more. Maybe the dog is from 0 to 10 and they don't have that much variation. There are some dogs that definitely are more loving than others, both towards people and other dogs and cats.
All right. Johnny in Huntsville, and then we'll wrap it up. We're going long today. This is good. Can dogs sense or see ghosts?
Depending on the drugs that they have taken in their owner's drawer.
Now, seriously, we know that our animals, I used to have a dog that had seizures and I thought for sure it was seeing ghosts, but it was actually suffering seizures. We have seen animals stare into corners of rooms for hours. We've seen them in cages. I know you've seen some of these videos, these cages where all of a sudden the cage door opens by itself and the animal looks like it's being picked up. You've seen some of these? Dude, it's crazy. You actually see the door open by itself and the animal looks like it's being clutched and it looks over its shoulder like, what's just grabbed me? And it's running out of the cage. So I don't know. Something's going on there. Or it's just really bad gas, one of the two. But there is this idea that animals, much like they can predict hurricanes, earthquakes, we know elephants go to higher ground, they feel barometric pressure. There is something that tells us that maybe they have this sixth sense that they can actually see or hear ghosts or things that are not normally seen by human beings. Do you believe that? Yes or no, despite the fact they may be doing drugs?
Well, I think that my dog's favorite ghost is Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, outside of that, I don't think he's really into Casper, but I think my favorite's Beetlejuice. I need to ask him, see if he's seen Beetlejuice recently.
It would be fun to to wish an idea, because we love these things. That's why the Discovery Channel's got these ghost stories on 24 hours a day. I mean, sometimes I'll get canned into watching. I mean, I don't know how many Bigfoot mysteries I have to watch, but every time I go, new evidence, and I'm like, I'm watching the Bigfoot new evidence thing, and I'm like, they're setting up the camera shots and all this stuff and taking swabs of hair and stuff like that, and I'm like, what?
What do you think ghosts, like, are... Are there some good ghosts? Are there some bad ghosts? Do you want to see a ghost?
I do believe that there are, if I had a gun to my head, I would say there are good ghosts and there are some bad ghosts. I don't think that bad ghosts are bad because they want to be bad. I think they're trapped in some type of hell on earth, if you will. Some type of purgatory, if you will. Yeah, I'm not going to go sixth sense. I'm not going to go that far. I will say this: I have seen some things in my life. Now, again, I used to drink a lot too. I've actually seen a talking squirrel that I saw back in 1994. We could share that story with another time. But I actually was at home and a squirrel walked across my bedroom floor. And the fact that I had a squirrel in the house, first of all, it should have kind of tipped you off. It was really a bizarre moment. I think what you want to believe in and what you actually can and should believe in are two different things.
Yeah. Have you, I know that we're kind of running time. Have you seen the movie Talk to Me? Have you seen the movie Talk to Me? It's really good. I'll give you a little premise. So there's a group of high school students and they find a petrified slash embalmed hand.
Uh-huh.
And they use it to communicate with the dead.
Oh.
I think it's probably about maybe 2 years old.
Okay.
And it's
the hand of the movie.
No, the movie. I think the hand is much older. But it's Australian, but it had a US release. Talk to me. Very good.
Scary?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's scary. I think that there are some kind of chilling moments.
Yeah.
But as far as keeping you up at night and, you know, nah.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
But there are, I think you do see some dead people and, you know, the way that the makeup that they use on that could be, I mean, I'm not gonna let my kids watch it by any means.
When I hear that, the average human only uses 17% of their brain, I don't know, that may be high or low. And then I see these stories about people who can run marathons in sub freezing temperatures for like 3 days straight and not get frostbite. People who can hold their breath for 8 minutes at a time. People that can do, you know, the pi theory out to the 55th thousandth number off the top of their head. When you see things like that and what people can do with their brains, I don't think we fully, well, we shouldn't, but I don't think we can fully understand just how powerful our brain is. I mean, it is the initial quantum computer is what it is. And so I put nothing past what our brains can make us see, sense, or hear. And that goes for ghost. I think if you want to see something bad enough, you will see it eventually. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
Yeah. And so I don't know if that means you're actually seeing it or are you just longing for something so desperately that you're actually seeing it. And sometimes I believe that is a healing process. I think sometimes people need to see or feel or touch something in order to heal. And sometimes that's the brain's way of saying, let me get you through this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you truly believe it, is it a lie?
Yeah. Well, that's called politics in the United States of America is what that's called.
Yeah.
All right. Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by our good friends down there at Ed's Pet World, your home for exotic pets, man. They got it all. I took some guinea pigs back down there. I've got six more, lattice coach. I think we're nine guinea pigs. They got some fantastic pets down there. Bearded dragons. They've got the sugar gliders. They got the Cayman crocodiles. They got the whole nine yards. You saw us on our television show on ABC 3340. As a matter of fact, I want to get you on my TV show coming up on ABC 3340. Do that.
I'll break the cameras, man.
Do that in the next month or two to get you on the TV
let's
show.
Do it.
Okay, so every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 11:00. So we'll get Dr. Rab on to talk about pet care. We'll have that going on. And of course, the fine folks down there at Sasquatch Comics and Games and Toys, they do fantastic work too. We love them down there. Seth Cosby and his entire crew, so they just do wonderful work. So we greatly appreciate it. Tell people how they can find you, my friend.
Call us at 208-0301. You can find us on Facebook, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, or you can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.